Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast, and we do abbreviated ones here on Sunday evening, wait a minute, I'm late sending out the notices for this podcast today. Short-term rentals, real estate versus housing. Real estate versus housing, 619-768-2945 is the number. But anyway, let's go to our co-host here for Sundays, and that's Reba Brown. And as soon as... Okay, Facebook. Oh, man. Sometimes these computers have a mind of their own. Okay, here we go. Okay, good evening, Reba.
Good evening. I hope everybody out there in Mother's Day land is doing well. How are you today, Brother
Mother's
Day,
by the way.
Thank you.
I'm hoping the toothache does not show back up until I get to the dentist tomorrow.
Okay, glad you're better.
There needs to be, in Chicago, I'm sure they have weekend dentists. Where I'm at, they don't have any weekend dentists.
Right, in Florida.
I don't know what this is about. Well, this part of Florida, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been saving me is I took some baking soda and a little water and brushed my teeth with it. So But I haven't been able to eat anything all day, though. So I'm sort of praying to get some money.
Wow.
And then I'm ahead of it. I don't like root canals, so I'm going to have to pull this one. But in any event, so what's going on in Chicago as far as what people want to know, real estate-wise? Because you mentioned in a text earlier you had some people that were interested in real estate.
Yeah, actually right now I'm in the company of a military veteran. And so he's listening. He may have some questions as we go further in the show. But Brother Siron, I'm hoping that he is listening. He said that he would tune in. And several of the other guests from last week. So, yeah, that was good. They are interested in what you may have considered about St. Anne, you know, the community. St. Anne and, yeah. Auntie Shirley, her face lit up when I told her that you know, that piqued your interest in St. Anne, so.
Yep, I did a little looking around online, and which I'll do more. But since you brought up real estate, and somebody asked me, matter of fact, a friend of mine, I got up about an hour or so ago. Let me put it right. Once again, today's podcast is titled Short-Term Rentals, Real Estate versus Housing. So let's start off with the distinction between real estate versus housing. I'm primarily in the housing business. I used to be in the real estate business. I got a couple pieces of real estate left, but I think it's better for people, well, everybody's got to know that, to be in the housing business versus the real estate business, because here's the difference. I'll start with real estate. Real estate is any building that is permanently attached to land. And once you with a foundation, once you permanently attach it to the land, you become partners with the local government, which means that they can assess your property, they can send you a tax bill on that property if you don't pay the taxes that they assess, they can take the property, because essentially real estate is a partnership between you and the local government, with the local government being the central, no, not the central, being the senior partner. Now, if you get a legal dictionary out, the senior partner is known as an allod, A-L-L-O-D. That's the senior partner here. So if you don't pay the taxes, they can take the property. If they put a water bill on your property from municipal water and you don't pay the water bill, they can auction off the property and you can lose it that way too. So essentially with real estate, now you get some rights with that. Although you have the deed allows you to have some equitable rights. You can live in it. You can rent it out maybe according to their rules. In certain jurisdictions, the larger ones, they don't like short-term rentals. So short-term rentals, things like Airbnb, is illegal or banned in certainly your larger cities around the globe. However, the majority of places don't have that much density, so short-term rentals are legal. And, of course, with every piece of real estate, it typically houses something. It can be, depending on the zoning, it can house people, businesses, industrial, what have you. Now, I'm in, for the most part, the housing business, and I don't like real estate. Simply because
I'm with you on that. I've been there. Yeah.
Exactly. A mobile home is housing. You privately own it. It doesn't get taxed by the local government. You own it. It's not permanently attached to any one particular geographical location. You can move it. You can move it around the world. It's yours. If somebody tries to squat on it, a whole set of rules apply that don't apply to real estate.
Okay.
Which we can get into a podcast on that. So when it comes to short-term housing, all right, it's something like Airbnb, vacation rentals. It's better to select a geographical location where you have more freedom. Now, there are smaller towns, like Chicago's, well, I'll take New York City. New York City is, you know, Airbnb is kind of tough on people that have short-term rentals in a place like New York City or even in Washington, D.C. However, if you drive 45 minutes outside of New York City or D.C., there are other places, smaller towns, which have a lot less people, where the rules are more what I would call American, where you have more freedom, then you can own a piece of real estate and rent it out as a short-term rental and make good money.
Okay.
So I would tell people that are interested in taking advantage of converting their rental unit into a short-term rental, where
right.
you can make money, good money. Look at, if it's going to be in a piece of real estate, look in an area where the real, you know, if it is real estate, the local laws are in your favor. But if, like, say, the larger the population, the more density, the more rules and regulations that there are, and it could be banned. Short-term rentals for the little guy, somebody who's got an apartment, or they might have a house and they want to rent out a room or two, or rent out the whole house. In certain areas, you can do it, no problem. Actually, there are a lot more places where you can do it than not do it. I would say out
you're
of
peaking. You're
peaking.
We're taking notes over here.
Out of all the, and Airbnb is just one platform, it's less than 1%.
Right.
But you, like, for instance, I got a house in D.C. is very restrictive. But that's okay. I can go to West Virginia. You know, drive 45 minutes an hour or so, and then I can basically do what I want to do if I own a piece of real estate. Okay.
Right.
Or you can... you can get something built and move it around from different areas, geographically speaking. So it'll be like a year-round vacation. You know, it's only limited to your imagination, what you want to do. So the main thing is that short-term rentals are a good thing, and I think it's a safer bet. Then, matter of fact, I know it's a safer bet then. And some people do Section 8, but you know what? There's so many ways to go. You know, you just pick whichever thing fits you the best. But short term rentals are, I mean, you're sort of in the hospitality business. And here's another thing about short term rentals. And the reason why, because the three, for the people that don't know the history of Airbnb, Airbnb got started like in 2008, I believe, 2007, 2008. Three guys were living in an apartment in San Francisco, and they were behind on rent. So one of them got the idea, you know what, why don't we get some air mattresses now. Okay, and rent out, you know, there was some kind of conference coming up, some kind of event, and then rent them out. So they rented them out in a day in an apartment, and they made up their rent. And then they said, well, no, let's keep on doing it. So they were making like $200 a week, which means they really didn't have to come out of their pocket much. And then somebody said, you know, give them an opportunity to rent out a house. And then they had an aha moment. And And that gave, because the original name was Air Bed, which is an air mattress, and Breakfast. And then now those guys was, if it, one guy's like 35, 36, the other two are 37, they're all billionaires, and this is probably a company. Now, what they did was, wasn't really nothing new. Vacation homes or people renting out their homes, like our grandparents did or great-grandparents did, you know, took in boarders, so to speak. So it was it's nothing new. But what made it, this is the good thing about it for anybody listening to this podcast, is if you look at, your goal might not become a billionaire, but most people who become billionaires do it in budding industries that where there's little, or in most cases, 99% of the time, there's no government regulation. So Airbnb, just like Uber or Lyft, Airbnb is an app. There's no government regulation on a local, state, or federal level for apps. Which is,
okay.
So anybody could basically, there are going to be other people that are going to get rich because they're going to pick out niches. You know, it could be homeless families. It could be nurses. It could be traveling nurses. It could be certain type of campers. It could be church choirs. People are going to come up with all kind of apps for people because housing is a broad branch thing, have you. So, but short-term rentals, so people out there who have a piece of property or a room, I mean, it's only limited to your imagination. So you're in the housing, you know, look into housing, and if you're going to get into real estate, just try to avoid the bigger markets where you have a lot of over-regulation. Of course, if you're in a larger market where there's a lot of regulation, then like in San Francisco, San Diego, something like that, there's probably, you know, study law, you know, there's probably a loophole in where you can get over anyway. But anyway, that's the thing on short-term rentals. So we'll be focusing a lot on short-term rentals here for the rest, for here forever, because we'll be setting up shop and helping other people set up shop where they can take advantage of short-term rentals. And I rather do short-term rentals anyway, because a lot of times short-term rentals people are from out of town. They don't get in. They have a home somewhere else. They don't have a squatter's mentality. They're not thinking about landlord turning the court.
Okay.
Enough like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That makes sense.
So
yeah,
that's my spiel this evening on short-term rentals and the distinction between real estate and housing. I'm in the housing and land business, so I look for acres of land, which you typically can't buy in a city. And then I'll build a house and put on it, and a tiny house at that, something off grid. Whereas in a large city, it's rare that you can buy acres of land on the cheap. And then you got all these, you know, zoning laws and all this other stuff. So anyway, but I'm off my soapbox on that. Any questions?
Well, yeah, definitely. As a former homeowner owning real estate, you know, one thing my late father used to say, the Honorable Robert Booth, you never really own anything because you have to pay taxes. And I know that that's one thing that you have shared with those who are interested in a tiny solar home, be it that, you know, they're leasing the land where they would have the tiny homes, but not having the burden of, you know, inner city taxes and policies and so forth, those regulations that prevent you from actually becoming wealthy. Because I was just telling a close friend that I would never have another mortgage. But the way that you've explained it, the way that you broke it down, I had considered at one point to have boarders outside of doing a home daycare. Well, my youngest just turned 18, but at this point, you know, of course, currently I'm in a 3-bedroom and there's three, I have the living room portion and there are three renters and the actual 3 bedrooms. So there's a custom made door in the front room and that's actually my portion, but you know, the rent gets paid. Split the lights and gas, you know, gas is another issue, but really it does work out. We don't have to be afraid. One woman I helped to save her house, she had comprehension difficulties. I was able to help her with her mortgage. I almost made the mistake, and I think I mentioned this to you before, of signing on as a, I think, a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Well, the concern is, one wise, but never forget, former police commander, was it commander? Sergeant, white shirts. He was a member over at St. Thomas Lutheran. So I had not owned my home as of yet. I actually had interest in purchasing that home. But I realized that I could help the woman, grandmother, who was she was babysitting her grandkids. And I was like, okay, well, you're babysitting them. They have an agency where they will help the parents with the funds for that. No matter what else those parents are doing, you have the children for the majority of the time. So she used that income to help to keep that house. So I was able to help her with that. That was before I even purchased my late mother's house from her estate. But the property in Brownsville was another thing that I had considered. At this point, I agree with you when it comes down to getting up out of the city. I could always come back when I have a better foundation, you know, as far as getting settled myself. So, my three sons are all.
You know what? Speaking of foundation, I'm glad you brought the point up. And let me, hopefully, I can do a paradigm shift on maybe one or two people during this podcast when it comes to that. Most people work, you know, they get up and they go to a 9-to-5. And they're trading their time. They're trading their 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, for a paycheck. What I would like people to do, and hopefully somebody will get a paradigm shift as I say, hopefully I'll put it out here correctly or communicate it correctly. Instead of going out of here and exchanging your physical time for a paycheck once a week or once every other week, start exchanging your time for building assets. Here's an example. One of the things that I'll be doing is, because the asset basically throws off cash without you physically having to be there. Like if you have a duplex, you know, you rent that out and if they pay their rent, you get, you know, passive income on that on a monthly basis, but you didn't have to go to that duplex 8 hours a day before you get those, you know, that cash flow from it. So the goal that I have this year, and hope that I'm just giving LA's example, instead of going out and physically working for, you know, a 9-to-5, which is 8 hours a day, I want to essentially, and I want people to take a widget. Now, my widget will be building tiny off-grid houses. You know, essentially, if I can build 8 a day, build 8 assets a day or build 8 tiny houses a day or even build 2 tiny houses a day or even 1. And then I sell it, you only make $1,000 profit. You know, by the end of the week, I've got $5,000. So, and in a month, $20,000. So it doesn't, whatever widget you can come up with, but a widget represents an income producing asset. So instead of going out and working for exchanging time, 8 hours a day, for a paycheck that you might get once a week or once every other week, think of an income producing asset. Work for assets on a daily basis instead of paychecks.
Okay.
That's food for thought.
Excellent. Yeah. That's good eating.
If you look at it, that's what these guys who started Airbnb did.
Right. And I didn't know that it was from, they had airbeds, you said, huh?
3 airbeds. I don't even know if they paid for them. I don't know if they borrowed them or whatever. But if you go on Amazon or go to Walmart, just look at the price of airbeds. I mean, they cost anywhere from 20 or 30 bucks to, you know, you can spend 100 and some change if you want a real nice one. But that's how they got started.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that story's on YouTube. They got books written on it and all that. And matter of fact, this past Friday, because it's my house got started because of the squatter. So I'm thinking, you know what? Now, what the squatter did was they went to the police, they went to housing, they went to housing court, but they could have did the exact, they went to the government to try to prolong their stay, which it did, but they left out broke. But these guys didn't even think about going to the government. They just thought, what could we do using what we have available to make up some back rent? Because the squatter, in my case, they were house sitters. They didn't have to pay rent. But it's the thinking. It's the paradigm shift. So what could I do? They had these bedrooms that they made available. And they thought, well, we can get some air mattresses. Because to buy a new bed, I mean, let's say it might cost $100 or so. So they didn't have money to buy new beds. All right. Mm-hmm. So these guys go get some air mattresses. I'm sure they weren't no cheesy ones. I'm gonna tell you, and
right.
I don't even know if they bought them or borrowed or had friends who had them. And they put up a little website and they put it online, and all 3 of those air mattresses got rented out in a day. And like I said, for a while, they were doing $200 a week. And they weren't even thinking about, so somebody said, well, can you rent out a house? And then they doubled their income from $200 a week to $400 a week. Didn't own any real estate and had an aha moment. And it went up from there. And these guys, like, they're mid-30s now, and they're billionaires in a privately held company.
Interesting.
And they didn't do anything. The only thing that they did different than the average person was they got somebody, and one of their partners knew how to put together an app. Now you can go on Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. You go on Fiverr.com and hire somebody to put together an app for you. You just have to decide which way you want to use it.
Yeah. Well, I like how you encourage, you know, the viewers, including myself, to take advantage of resources. One being, if you have real estate, like the house that I previously owned, there are some different things that you can do to keep that mortgage paid or to have individuals share a residence and make sure that the bills get paid. And other resources, as you said, be it Fiverr or someone that you know in your circle, that can do something that you can't do. So also, like, it just comes to mind the bartering. For instance, my Spanish, a lot of people, I have one of my sponsors who wants to pay the $125 for the Spanish class. That's the intro class. But the gentleman is a sponsor for the youth that need to make money when, you know, on the weekends, whatever, whenever we have events throughout the summer, you know, through Chime for Peace, then they could make some money. Definitely has an opportunity to invite the youth out as well. I've invited Marie Geis out of Hirsch High School. She's a parent leader in the community. So hopefully she is tuned in, and several people have, you know, some interest in what you're doing. So, yeah, we want to teach these young people how to make money, but also how to be stable. So that's really what I can appreciate. One of the things that I can appreciate about what you're doing, the focus is housing. So how do you become stable? Homelessness is such a crisis.
Using the example of, all right, for instance, you take a place and, you know, you rent out the rooms or whatnot. And it's like when we met a couple of weeks ago, you know, I flew up there for like one day from Florida to Chicago for a day. So we did a side trip to a rural area about 45 minutes to an hour away, depending on traffic, away from Chicago. So it's, that's where, you know, they, you can move them up from a room. And let's go back to the business model that I was talking about a few moments ago. In other words, build one house a day, one little tiny off-grid house that is theirs, where they can live in it on a regular forever basis, come there on the weekends, or just have it built and then rent it out. And, you know, if you like the passive income, then have another one built and another one built and another one built. And then you'll have, if you build enough of them, you can essentially live anywhere on the planet that you want to live.
Yeah.
You know, so you can even do, you know, you can use it to solve, pay off debt. We had a guy on It's My House about 2 weeks ago, Mr. C. He'll be back on. Mr. C, by renting out rooms, he paid off like a $60,000 debt within 2 years, just by renting out rooms.
Okay. Excellent.
So, we got a caller here. Let's take this before we run out of time. 718, your mic is open.
Hello, everyone. This is Darryl from New York.
Oh, welcome.
Good evening, Darryl.
I saw a few weeks ago, LA, you told us to go online and look for 40 acres and a mule. And what happened is that, you know, I'd like to know, like, if I, you know, we do get some land and we're not there, like if we own the land. Because this land, the 40 acres I saw, it was out there in Texas. It was like, actually, it was like 40 acres for $200. And and I was wondering, I was like hesitant because I tried to get in contact with you. You're not always an easy person to get in contact with. And so I was worried about if I would have got that 200 acre and somebody would have got hurt on that land while I'm not there. What happens when you purchase something? Because you told us to go on eBay. We went on eBay. Well, I actually went on eBay. And I was like, wow, that's good because, you know, it's a lot of things I could have did with that land, you know, because, you know, you have sometimes like the government would assist you if you want to like grow something on that land, you know, they'll provide the equipment. But I was wondering if I wanted to do something else, like, you know, build like some, I believe in the housing and I believe in real estate because as far as, you know, I worked in the homeless population with the homeless population and a lot of people flock to New York, but I'm sure it's other major, other states, they do have some type of assistance to help the homeless. I was thinking like, okay, on that 40 acres, I could put up, you know, one level story, you know, houses, or whether they be tiny homes or whatever, but just put up something one level and turn a quick buck, you know, and just keep on going from there. But the question I have is, like, if I would have got that 200 acres, I mean, that 40 acres, and something happened on that property when I'm not there, am I liable once I purchase it on eBay? What happens?
That's a very good question. I've got a few acres in Texas myself, but that's a good question. I've never had anything like that happen. And then the people that would be, people out there that are in that neck of the woods, they're on a different wavelength. What part of Texas was that in?
I don't know, but it looked like it was out there like on a stretch of highway. So I was very concerned. I get something I purchased online, you know, for $200, and I was like, okay, but now I bought this land, and something happened after I buy this land. What happens to me? You know, do I go in debt, you know, a debt that's hard to get out or a debt that's easy to get out of, you know, once I purchase that land? So that was the thing about it. I mean, it's, you know, as you said, it's millions of acres out there we can purchase. But,
right,
you know, what type of things, once we buy it for dirt cheap, what's the next step as far as, like, you know, what's the paperwork that we need to have? Are they going to provide any paperwork for us? You know, how to, because see, me, I'm new to this. See, you know about the zoning, mm-hmm. you know about this. And I feel that we should have some type of class, and everybody get on a computer and we get walked through it. Anything that we want to do, we need to get walked to it, because, you know, you're there already.
Right,
you know,
right. I typically purchase rural land where I can farm on it and then put virtually any type of structure I want on it. That's not in all cases, but in most cases. So I've got some acres of land out in Texas myself. So,
okay. I thought about it.
It sounds like you're asking about protections of your investment and to secure, first of all, your peace of mind. Like you said, if you're away, brother, is it Brother Daryl? What is your name?
Yes, that's me. Because I'm, yeah, you know, like, what happened for squatters, the protection as far as, like, squatters coming on the land, what type of, how do we protect that land when we're not there, you know? And
that's a good question, too. Number one, I bought, like, almost 80 acres of land before I thought about that. Ideally, before you buy land, because there's a lot of it, okay, try to find something closer to you, number one. Like, if you're in New York City, try to find something in New York State, because there's quite a bit of land available in New York State that you can get at affordable prices, too. Now, once again, you got to stay away from the districts, but there's a lot of cheap in New York City. Next thing is, an acre of land is a football field. So you got to look at, try to probably purchase no more than two at the extreme, no more than 5 acres of land. Okay, now I'm looking at that because I saw it was so easy. What happened to me is I saw it was so easy to purchase. My ego took over. I bought 40 acres one day in like 10 minutes. So, but the thing is, then you be thinking, wait a minute. You know, questions that you just said, you know, people that can come on it, squat on it, stuff like that. So then I said, well, and then if you want to resell it, the typical person is not going to buy 10 acres or 15 acres or 20 acres of land or even 40 acres of land. the typical person that might want to buy land and homestead on it might buy 1 to 2 acres of land, because once again, an acre is equivalent to a football field. On a football field, if you use urban density housing like in New York and Chicago, you can put 20 houses on. All right. So on an acre, you can put a nice size house for yourself on it, another one for your kids or grand, 3 or 4 houses on it, then still have a huge garden, still have parking and room left over. That's a lot of land, 1 acre. So
LA,
you have to think about all those things. And then, you know, for security, you know, you need to think about, all right, how are you going to fence it off, or if you're going to fence it off a quarter acre at a time, because even a quarter acre is quite of a bit. And then, because, see, I'm at the point now where I've got to take on partners. And then partners is like getting married. You know, that's a whole nother ballgame. So it's
okay,
like when I went to Chicago, I met 2 people out there, and then we met one other person on the way. So if I were you, I would look for something in New York State first. And
okay.
Then
y'all gave, okay.
New
y'all
York
gave me
State.
A very good idea. You gave me
then,
a very good idea. Okay.
The best, and then you know what? Fine. All right. Here's what I would do in New York State or any state in the union. Look for the county that has the smallest amount of people in a county. And then once you find the least populated county in a state, then you look for towns that have a population of, I would say, no more than 2,000 people. The smaller the smaller the town, the better. Then I would
LA,
go
you remember
to
that?
The town and make
okay.
friends. Because when you make friends with these people in these small towns, you're going to come across opportunities, and a lot of them, that will never reach the internet.
LA, you remember that lady who needed the bus, the dollar bus? That town?
Yeah. Yeah, in Cass.
This is I could solve that problem real quick. This is what she has to do. She has to make a telephone app, right? And you know, everybody you know, people have a cell phone. Do the app and then have the investment. Like they have the, like, you know, okay, contribute a dollar. And how many people in that community? In that where they need the bus at?
300
community. 300 people in that community, right? You mean that's
yeah.
including the whole population, children and everything?
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Well, okay, this is what happened. That's how many in there, but it has been many that has left. And, you know, they come back and visit. So this is what they do. They create a phone app for that community, right? And they say, look, we're still having this problem as far as when it comes to transportation. And this app that you, when you go onto this app, you know, you see that we're trying to get this for the community, and we need investors. We only ask it for like a dollar, a quarter, whatever. And then what happened? And then you'll see the progress of it going into an escrow or whatever to get that means of transportation. I think that's what they should do for like little holes in the walls that, you know, the backward places that people want to get out because, you know, they want to go someplace, but they do come back to visit every now and then. I think that's what they should do so they could see the progress of their investment by just going on the phone app. So it's like the people in the community, this is what they would do. And then they would actually, when they every time they, like, you know, get on the bus, they say, look, I paid the fee on the bus, and this is, it goes into a pot. So it's like, you know, they have their driver. So when they pay this money, like that, it goes into the pot to take care of the driver and take care of the fuel needs. So so when they put that money in on the bus or however they pay, you know, they don't have to be cash, but they can do it through their phone. That, you know, if they need like a ride, they don't have to be cash, nothing like that. So nobody can get robbed. They're just like, you know, okay. Send it to the phone like PayPal. I want a ride. Okay, I'm right there. They send it like that. You know, they pay for the ride through PayPal, dollar, how much ever they pay. and they'll take care of it. You know, I don't know if that sounds good.
Daryl,
but...
you got something there. I want to, matter of fact, that can even work up there. Reba, I'm going to be calling you on that too, because we can use
that
for another
tiny
house
too. That
would
be the tiny houses too. That's
just
$5 forever. And nothing has to come out your pocket.
All right. Well, you know what, Daryl? You know what? Reba, you got anything else? You know what? That's an excellent idea.
Yeah. Brother Daryl, you do come up with some good ones.
Oh,
yeah.
I have plenty. I have plenty. I just have to act on them.
Yeah. Now, one
but
thing
you know,
about
that,
our trip
that,
out to Denver.
Real simple,
you know, yeah.
What's the dollar? The beer, Reba,
what was
what
the
you
question?
Saying?
It was
no, I said,
like,
Reba, what were you saying?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
All right. So, the idea of connecting with neighbors, one question that you asked concerning my interest in, you know, building a tiny solar house out in Pembroke, because it's so spacious, you can look afar, but you may not have any idea where your next neighbor is. So to do the research, which is part of why we're going out to check out your property, but, yeah, another thing is to connect. If you are away from your property, you know, your neighbor may be, you know, maybe 5 miles away, but maybe work out some kind of deal as well, because you still got to secure in some type of way. Or maybe have someone who, maybe a single person who may be willing to go take that trip,
well,
you know, let's say you're out of town for the weekend or something
creative.
Like that.
Daryl's got a creative mind. Daryl, what's your idea on using a housing app,
on
application? Give us some idea on that. Now, we don't follow up people on this offline because,
okay. Yeah.
I smell money with this one.
You think just like you can even have a liaison app. You have a liaison app. You may not be
okay
there, but you need somebody, some foots on the ground, and you know, you put that out. We're looking for like a liaison just to maybe go and check up on the place, or maybe
right
to like that. You make a liaison app that, you know.
Okay.
You know, so that's another thing that will solve that problem. Or even when they, you know, sometimes they say a charity starts at home first. So if you have
right
something, like, you know, relatives, and you have somebody in, you know, in dire needs, and they need to be rescued, you could say, hey, look, I just need you to, you have a cell phone, you have some type of bank account, you're making money. How about just invest a quarter? You know, invest anything, because you'd be surprised. Don't let the pennies add up. People throw pennies away. So if you're going to throw pennies in the street, that just say, look, oh, you don't like pennies anymore. How many pennies you have? Just donate them pennies, and they will add up. The community, instead of throwing away pennies, you know, them pennies, they add up. And, you know, nothing has to come out of pocket, whether it be tiny houses or anything, any project that needs to be built. Nothing has to come out the pocket anymore. You just have to make the app. And whether you need studs, whether they be wood studs or metal studs or screws or angles or whatever you need, you can make whatever size investment you want, from a penny to a nickel, and
right,
it will add up.
To, like, Reba, now you were talking about a place in Chicago where you guys would took an apartment or something and turn and rent it out by the room?
Yeah, so actually the landlord, my friend Linda, she is
uh-huh
a new real estate investor, so she has two buildings. So, of course, typically each floor has either male or female, which makes sense because they're actual apartments.
Mm.
So then you have people, I know people who have done this already for years. I had been looking at SROs for people I would refer them. They normally go for around $400. And generally the light bill is included, but in some cases,
right,
you know, you share the light bill, whatever you can work out. Just depends on how the landlord wants to work it out. Otherwise, you know, the other lady ended up having the one who I helped to save her house. She had a boarder too.
Eventually, all right, people that rent those rooms eventually want to have their own place.
Yeah.
I mean, will move out, put their own place. And then, of course, there's always somebody that's going to need a room. So there are, I mean, we can roll that into an app where it can service both of those markets.
Yeah. A lot of people are having fixed incomes. Let's say that fixed income is just about $800 a month. So $400 is doable. But as far as being an investor, I've been told, you know, everybody that wants their own house or their own apartment, whatever. But there are some people who do want to look into what you're sharing. So the good thing about what you're sharing, because keep in mind, if the landlord sells the property, guess what? Then those people have to relocate. They have to figure it out or work out something with the new owner. So what you're putting out there is the opportunity to really become independent.
They can tap into an app where they can, you know, find out where they can go locally if they need a room or if they need a that's all Airbnb is. Where can I sleep?
Right. One concern that we did have, and I like the fact that, Brother Darrell, that you're doing your homework, we needed to identify cell phone towers to find out, like, what, for one, I'm with Cricket, someone else may be with AT&T and so forth, what towers service the cell phone so that you won't be out somewhere and not be able to get a signal. So as we were driving, we lost signal. Most of the time we had signal. And the good things I think that the three of us may have had, we had at least two different services. So at any one point in given time, somebody had a signal.
Right.
But that's something moving out into the rural areas. You want to consider that and do some homework on that.
Right. I had
T-Mobile
because it went out twice when we were out there.
When you come time to that, just request that the cell phone providers put up more things, put up more towers.
Okay, more towers. You know? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That we request that they put up more towers because that's going to help them because people are going to love to have a cell phone. Then, you know, what's the use of having a cell phone if you can't use it? You know, so when they put up more towers, that works out for the providers. You know.
We should probably work on this idea. Oh, tomorrow morning, let's see.
Are you able to talk after the show, LA?
Yeah. You want to do a conference call after that? I think Reba just came back up. Hey, Reba, you there?
I'm here. Well, I'm about business. It's Mother's Day, but I do have company. I just got some beautiful flowers. Thanks again. But I am available. I'm just relaxing. I'm actually laid back chilling as we speak.
I'm gonna do this. I'm going to end this podcast now, and then let's see. Both of you call into my phone, and then we'll continue from there. Okay.
All right.
I'm just in this now.